5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Long Beach Social Experiment Podcast with your host, Steven Martinez, a.k.a. Mega Man. Whoa, I can't believe I'm going to say this number. Episode 300. I mean, it's been a journey, and I'm surprised I'm still doing the podcast, but episode 300 is like, man, I already told myself this before I bring my guest on, that the episode 300 is going to be very educational. It's going to be in your face, and I have a lot of good people coming on for 2024. And for this episode, I brought a very, very special guest coming on, and he's one of my good friends. Man, I knew this person. Man, I'm telling you, this person taught me to be something that I wasn't supposed to be. And because of him, man, I took my podcast and took my life into another level. And my guest for this episode is my homie, Flo. What's up, Flo?
What's up, man? I feel like a star with that introduction right there.
I know, man. It's something where we just have that relationship, you know, ever since like the COVID times, you know, with you and Brown doing your show, and now you're on your own doing yours, and you're still doing the podcast. Yep. And there was an episode recently me and King Mexico did, and we were like giving certain podcasters flowers, and you know, King Mexico gave your flowers. It's like, yo, you have one of those episodes where you actually talk about history, but I like that. But for me, is the episodes of the Flo Chronicles, where I really want to get to know who you are as a person when you're not with your family or you're not doing podcasts, but to understand, because we live in a society that we do not make the time and effort to get to know each other.
I agree. Well, thank you. You know, I like to put out all the stuff that I know. Obviously, history is my favorite subject, right? Mm-hmm. Like I told you in the last episode, that's what I studied in school.
Yeah.
Right? And I taught for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm at a place where I'm no longer teaching, but I'm still working with youth. And now I'm managing mentoring programs, right? Which is something that I'm really proud of, because the road that has gotten me to that, right, is to be able to guide men specifically. Right now I'm working mainly with young men, because, you know, I always talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Young men need guidance, right? Women, for whatever reason, they seem to get it together. I don't know what it is, but they seem to be more resilient, right?
Mm-hmm.
And us, we need a little more push. So I actually went to a conference last week, you know, and my job just entails about going to different people and networking and stuff like that. So I'm doing a lot more talking. I'm meeting with like rich folk. Actually, I was at a gala last month, and I don't know if you've ever seen The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know who Shane is?
Yeah.
He was there. Yeah. You know, so I'm getting to see, you know, people that I never would have seen if I wasn't in this position, right? So, but yeah, the Flo Chronicles allow the listeners to really understand who I am as an individual.
And that's good. And that's something where when those Flo Chronicles, it's like you have the Flo Chronicles, I have the Mega Man's life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's the only thing for people to follow us on social media, but to get to an insight of who is Flo is. And I mean, and also what you were saying, yeah, a lot of youth need a lot of men's guidance, because, you know, there's a lot of, you know, kids with no fathers. And yep. And that's why you see high crime rate. You see, oh, you know, this person's doing this, this person's doing that. And you always see in the comments, where's the father?
Absolutely.
Where's the father?
Yep. And, you know, we talk about all these other issues on social media and whatever, but rarely do we ever talk about men's issues. And rarely do we ever talk about the fatherless issue. And I've been saying that since I came into podcasting, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to address that, because everything else will be affected by that, right? Mm-hmm. You talked about young men being involved in crime. A lot of these young men that are involved in crime probably lack a father figure in their life, right? Because if you have one, the fathers, traditionally speaking, they play the disciplinarian role in our culture, mm-hmm. right? And when you don't have that, what ends up happening? You have a bunch of men who have no control over their emotions. They are essentially more feminine, right? And that's not necessarily a negative thing, but
mm-hmm.
They lack that masculine behavior.
Because you're being raised by a boss woman.
Exactly. And a lot of the times we confuse, you know, being a tough guy, you know, getting into fights with, oh, I'm a big alpha masculine dude. That's not what it's about, right? It's about being stoic and knowing how to manage those emotions. We all have them. It doesn't mean that you have to hide your emotions, but knowing how to manage them. And that's what I teach these kids, you know, that I mentor. Like, you know, the lies that we do, right? That we've been doing for...
I
do that with the kids now. Imagine that. Posing the questions, right, with high school kids. And they enjoy it.
And that's the thing where you have to prep these kids now, you know? Like how you're saying, they don't know how to deal with their emotions, and also they don't know how to conduct themselves.
Absolutely.
You know, don't think with your emotions, think with your brains.
Yes.
And that's something where, you know, even with me or anyone else, you know, we have to. And, you know, having, you know, boys, you know, like, we have to be in their lives. And I think in a way, it has to be where if you're going to have a kid with someone and things don't work out, they have to be mutual, but you can't be like a chess game, because what you're doing is you're hurting your kids, but you're keeping the masculinity of that man not seeing his kids down. And that's why it's like, you can't hold kids. You know, if things didn't work out, don't be like that, because we all need fathers.
Absolutely.
And that's why I'll be very honest with you. I had a conversation with my mom maybe a year ago. I was like, hey, let me ask you something. I know you had a lot of hate with my father, but look how I was. I was lost.
Yeah.
And because you had that resentment because my dad left you to be with someone else. And I kind of look at it and said, and now it makes sense why my father left you, because you were the boss woman. You wanted to wear the pants. You want to be controlled. And my father didn't want that. Along, if you would have, you know, loved my, you know, father, you know, how it is, and be more submissive and be more traditional and stop being a boss here or whatever, then we wouldn't have these problems. And maybe anyway, I would have a different life.
Yeah.
And that's what I just, she was kind of shocked for me. I can't believe you telling me this, but it's the honest truth.
Yeah, it's generational trauma, right? I don't know the relationship that your mom had with their father, right? But
he was very traditional. He's very pastor. But is this something where... This is way before internet. Yeah, so, but imagine if there was internet back then, everyone would be fucked. Yeah. But she understands, like, you know, I was thinking with my emotions and I can't be like that.
You know, a lot of times, I mean, what ends up happening, right? Even women who, even if you have a father in the home, you have to be emotionally present, right? With your kids, right? Because a lot of people in our culture, a lot of men in our culture too, yes, they might be there, but they're not present emotionally with their kids. And for example, I have a daughter, right?
Yes.
I mean, I let her know that I love her. I'm very, very expressive about that. She knows that, right? So I'm teaching her to be emotionally expressive. So when she becomes an adult, she doesn't have to deal with that, right? She understands that a man is supposed to love her, right? And at the same time, I'm not letting her be buck wild and do stupid shit, right?
Oh, 304 girls.
I understand that I have to instill some kind of discipline in her.
Correct.
So she's also going to learn that you can't just act the way you want to act with however you want to, you know, whatever you want to do, right? So that's where men also fail their daughters, is that they don't instill the discipline, they don't instill the love. It has a balance, right? And like I said, I mean, a lot of women who are more masculine in that way is because they did not get that love from their father as well, right? They could have been there, right? Maybe they were a disciplinarian and that's all they got, but maybe they lacked the love, the gentleness, because we have to with our daughters, dude. I mean, you have boys, and you have a daughter. Mm-hmm. It's totally different.
Totally different.
Right. So
I love my daughter, and I don't want to see the path of how we see women on social media all buck wild, all ghetto, like, I don't need no man. Mm-hmm. My mom didn't need no man. Like, you know, you hate these people. Fresh and Fit Podcast. But you know what? It's just sometimes I like to see shows or Kevin Samuel or Andrew Tate. I just want to see what can we do to, you know, solve this, you know, this puzzle of, you know, if this generation keeps up, I mean, we're all doomed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I mean, and a lot of these people who have these platforms, they probably have a similar experience, right? Like the Fresh and Fit guys, right? I know you talked about them right now earlier. Mm-hmm. Those two guys, you can tell they had some kind of trauma. You know, when they were probably in their teens, they probably were not the most popular kids in high school. A lot of girls probably rejected those two dudes. So what do? They use that as motivation to build themselves, but in the process, they still haven't gotten over that. They still see themselves as that guy in high school who got rejected. can't get over it. So what do? Bring in a bunch of women that they probably used to like, right? Like at least a prototype of girl that they used to like in high school. And they just bash a shit out of them because mm-hmm. it makes them feel better about themselves, right? And everybody who listens to them, right? The majority of folks who tune in to their podcast or who donate or whatever probably had the same experience. Mm-hmm. It's like basically going to a place to throw tomatoes at them, right? They love that. And Fresh and Fit knows this. They understand that this is how they function. I mean, they've made money off of this, right? So same thing with Andrew Tate. I mean, they have a lot of good advice. I'm not going to disagree with you, but the problem is when you start to instill hate, that's when it becomes a little more complicated.
The only thing I have a problem with Fresh and Fit is like, okay, you put women down, you bring men, you know, and all, but it's like, You have multiple girlfriends, multiple yes. ladies. Like, what's he trying to be? The king of Indonesia?
And that's what I'm talking
about.
Like,
Anna and the king? Like, mm-hmm. I don't like that. That's more problems.
Exactly. I mean, and the way they try to justify it. I mean, Myron is a pretty smart guy. At least he knows how to talk. But I think he also doesn't understand that he's a very emotional man.
You could tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even Andrew Tate talks about it. Kevin Samuels. Yep. That's the person where RIP, you know, I was trying to write down, okay, the red flags. There's a lot of red flags. Yep. And look, there's women out there who are trying to bring traditional women back.
Yes.
And at the same time, I mean, like, these women, they don't care. But when he's like, well, you should just marry me, you should let me for him, even though I have a 5,000 body count. Like, no fucking no. way.
No.
that's...
Yeah.
I don't know what to say about that. If I like you and it's like, well, I'm not really feeling it. It's like, it's almost like in a way a lot of people don't want to get married no more.
Yeah. And I was actually listening to a podcast today earlier in the morning about how women, you know, the sexual revolution changed women forever.
Oh yeah.
And it really benefited men more than anything, because back then men needed to get married to have sex with women. Like, women were not going to give you sex because it was seen as, you know, going against tradition, mm-hmm. right? Today, they don't need to work for it. A lot of women will give it away easily, and what ends up happening, right? I mean, these men don't have to worry about courting them. They'll have sex with them, and then that's it, right? So the marriages have gone down because of that, and the relationships, right? And the women who do want to commit are the ones who are suffering. The men that don't want to commit are the ones who are winning.
Yeah, it's all mixed up. And at the same time, I was telling Cindy about this, you know, I feel like now, like, you know, chivalry's dead.
Oh, absolutely.
Big time dead. It's like,
every time I open doors for women, they're like,
I can do it myself.
They're like, yeah, they're like, oh, you don't have to open the door for me. I'm like, oh, I just do it because that's what I like to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't know why women don't like that. But back then, like, the women who are older, it's like, oh, yeah. There is still good men out there. Yeah. I still want to wear the pants. Yeah. But, you know, we'll just see how it is in time. But it's just, man, there's just, I don't even like seeing social media. It's just nothing but toxic relationships, yeah. Cheating. You know, this person lost everything. He can't see his kids. It feels like if I marry, I'm going to lose everything. If I marry, because women, if I can't get my way with them, I'm going to divorce you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's why you got to be really careful who you have kids with and who you marry, because... You know, it's a most important choice you're going to make in your life as a man, I would say.
Mm-hmm. When you see, like, when your daughter grows up and, you know, you're going to teach her about the social media, like, yo, be careful out there. It's a crazy world out there.
Yes.
And I just don't like seeing a lot of good women get hurt, and there's ghetto women, and there's cheaters, and there's sucios. Mm-hmm. It's like, I just see it more as a depopulation. Anything they can do to stop the population, yes, from growing.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm not going to give her access to it. You know, I'm going to try to block it as much as I can. Obviously, you know, I won't be 100% successful, because, I mean, kids will find ways to, you know, to do things that parents don't necessarily want them to do, right? I mean, even I, as a kid, would do stuff like that. But instill values in your kid as early as possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, I teach my daughter about God and, you know, just the values that I think are important and in our family. And if I can do that at an early age where it matters to her, right? When she becomes older, hopefully she's guided by these values and she makes the right choices, right? Mm-hmm. I only have one sister. It's all brothers, right? And my sister is only 21. So we're pretty far apart in age. And my parents are in their 60s already. So they're very, very traditional, right? My mom, my dad, they didn't really date. They got married you know, within a couple of days of dating, because that's the way it was. I mean, you know, they're both from like a small village.
Wow.
The concept of dating was not something you did in the 70s or 60s, you know, like in traditional small village Mexican, you know, areas, right? So, well, she was talking about dating. They're like, what is that? Like, what does it mean? Especially for a woman. I mean, for us, it was a little different. But for women, they were like, well, what does it mean to date? Like, is he like, you guys ain't getting married? Like, no. Like, I was like, mom, like, they're getting to know each other, you know? And my mom was a little worried. She's like, you know, like, what if she's like, you know, starts to basically lose herself in a relationship? I was like, look, you taught her enough where she knows how to respect herself. And she's going to make the right choices. And if she's picking this guy that she's dating, I mean, trust her that she's gonna make the right choices. And I told her the same thing too. I was like, look, you know, the fact that she even told us, hey, look, I'm gonna start dating, you know, and she's, again, she's 21. She didn't date as a teen, right? So for her to choose this late, I guess it's late for today's, you know, modern women, right? To me, shows that my parents did the right thing when it comes to instilling those values. And I met the guy, you know, he's a pretty chill dude. I mean, he's very respectful. Like he for my birthday, we went out to eat and he pulled the chair for her, you know, things that a lot of dudes probably don't do anymore. Right? He's trying. I mean, so I was like, at least right now she picked the good guy. Right. And we'll see where it goes. But my point though, with that is that parents can instill values in them at a very young age and those things will carry over. But if you don't do it at a young age, it's very hard to get them as a teenager, because those values will show up as a teen.
Yeah, when you teach your kids the traditional, the way, you know, you teach them about the heritage, the history, mm-hmm. you know, be more, like if you're a man, this yes. you be a provider. But if you're a woman, be more traditional but submissive. But I always feel in a relationship, the main thing is communication.
Absolutely.
I see so much lack of communication, and it's like, we communicate. If not, it's just like a ticking time bomb. I'm gonna wait till that time, and I'm gonna just lay it on him. You just can't be like that.
No, I mean, that's what I would say makes most relationships fail, is the lack of communication, or communication that's not clear, right? You might make assumptions and then you act on those assumptions, and then all of a sudden you have a huge clusterfuck, and it's like, what happened here? You know, so I think that's very true. I mean, you've seen it. I've told you many times. I mean, I always communicate very clearly, even with you.
Always,
you know,
always.
And it's always with good intentions.
Always.
It's not to, you know, piss you off or to disrespect you. It's always
some people take it like the wrong way, yeah. But to me, it's like, bring it. I just, you know, because I want the honesty. I don't want the fake honesty. Just lay it on the line. Just tell me.
Absolutely.
And I was going to tell you, for you working with the youth, what's their mindset? How they program, like, you know, are there a lot of youth, the men, have fathers or no fathers?
This population that I work with, a lot of them don't have fathers, right? So that's why, again, it's very important for us to be involved in their lives, because they don't have that father figure who's going to lead them the right way. There was somebody in there that was there before me, and the stuff that he was teaching them was completely toxic. And what I mean by that is that, you know, he wasn't built to be able to do that, right? This person that was in there was not built, and I'm not going to mention their names out of respect for them, right?
Yes.
But when I came in there, it was a nightmare. I had to undo a bunch of things. Kids were cursing, you know, left and right. They never disrespected me, but just the way they talked about women, right? It's just completely disrespectful, and there's a lot of things you got to undo. But now that they've been with me for about a year, I think that they're picking up on some of the things, some of the habits, and what I expect from them, right? The way I talk to you is the way I talk. I don't need to raise my voice at them. These are high school kids.
A lot of people do.
Yeah, because they can't control them, right? Kids will know if you believe in them or not, by the way. That's what kids and I would say older people, they see your intentions for what they actually are. You can fake it. But they'll find out. So, you know, this is why I work with them, because you still have a chance at affecting them. With adults, it's way more difficult. They're already set in their ways. They're not going to listen. They'll have to experience things to listen, right? But with kids, they're still influential. And what this guy was doing, I mean, he was just instilling these toxic ideas in them, right? and it wasn't helping them out. Luckily, you know, we had to get rid of them, and now, like I said, I mean, we're in a place where these kids are, we're at this gala that I was talking about. They were in the middle talking to these rich people like nothing, man, like dressed up in tuxedos, 16, 17 year old boys.
You know, that's the thing about being, you know, dressing for work,
yep.
You know, head up, rise yep. up, no slouching, mm-hmm. put your phone away.
Yep.
Talk. When a person talks to you, look them in the eye.
Nice. Exactly.
Like, and also with the grammar, because that's the thing yep. where a lot of kids, when you have slang words, like, yo, don't talk like
nope.
that. Mm-hmm. Don't, you know, come on, you know,
exactly.
You were raised right. But yep. a lot of them, they're just way too lazy. And it's a battle. You know, if those types of kids who are going, you know, what you're doing, helping the youth, now you're dealing with the government. You're dealing with the social media, then you're dealing with schools and all that. So you're dealing with a fucking like a three-headed monster.
Basically.
And it's hard.
It is.
It's really hard. And that's why for kids, it's like it's a battle every day when you take your daughter to school. What is she learning from school? At the same time, you don't want your daughter's mind to be brainwashed what the government's teaching her, but at the same time, what you and your wife are teaching your daughter. So it's like a battle every day.
It's pretty funny that you mentioned that because last week my daughter and I were going on a walk,
mm-hmm.
right? Just walking around
yeah, yeah.
the neighborhood. And I was asking her some questions, just regular questions, you know? And because, you know, obviously I cut my hair recently, you know how it was longer and stuff like
oh,
that.
Man, you always styled, man. Every style is different. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But obviously she noticed it, you know? And then she's like, I like your hair better like that, you know? I like it. And then I just started asking her questions and I was like, oh, you know, because, you know, like you said, government, you know, agendas, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I was just asking her normal questions, you know, like regular questions about life and stuff. And then I think I asked her something about, you know, I think around the lines of like what men and women wear, right? I wasn't necessarily instilling my beliefs. I just wanted to see how she thought, if she's getting any ideas from somebody else, right? And I asked her, you know, like, do boys wear dresses? And she's like, no, they don't. You know, like, what about girls? You know, like, can they wear pants or whatever? He's like, yeah, they can wear pants too, you know? But like, you know, because obviously this idea that gender is fluid and, you know, and all this stuff is being taught in schools, like you said, right? But I just wanted to see, like, what she was being taught. And then I threw in a curveball and I was like, you know, I forgot what I told her, but she's like, no, dad. She's like, boys are not supposed to do that. But the fact that my daughter's 6 years old and she can recognize these things, you know, is very, very interesting. I have not told her what's rigid, what's not rigid, but she can pick it up, right? So to me, it's always like, why are kids today being influenced to think a certain way when a lot of these things are really black and white? Why do we have to make them complicated?
All these pronouns, identify. I'll get shit for this. I feel like this is the gayest generation ever.
Well, it's popular now.
Yeah.
To be. I think the term now is queer. I think that's the term. And I was having this conversation with my coworker. I said, when I was a kid, that was an offensive term. You didn't call somebody that.
No.
And now it's embraced, right? People call themselves that. And again, no judgment. I don't really care. But
mm-hmm.
like you said, I mean, it's popular now. Right, it's almost like you want to strive for that if you're a youth,
mm-hmm.
and I would say more so, I think girls, you know,
it's just something where it's like you see a lot of men are want to be girls dressed up, you know, and I'm like, I sometimes get pissed off, like, you know, when people like, you identify me as this, or pronouns, like, no, I'm gonna identify you as I see you. If you're a trans, you're still a guy. You're just putting your makeup and you're putting your costume on, but you're going to take that off. And you're still going to be a man no matter what.
I mean, you can go about it that way, obviously, you know, and most people will probably say, well, that's really a disrespectful and fucked up, right? But what I say is this, is if you truly believe that, right, if you believe that you're this, then why do you need somebody's validation?
Correct.
Why do you need me to call you a he or she, you know, by your... Yeah, you can say it's out of respect, right? But this is when you know the issue is deeper than that, right? A lot of these folks suffer from depression, but it's not addressed.
Very delusional.
It's not addressed, and even if we're trying to help them, we're not doing the right thing. We really are not helping them out in that way.
It's just getting worse.
Yeah.
I feel like when the COVID times happened, everything got worse, way worse. It's like, yeah. Well, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that, and And it's more like, damn, man. It's like when you see social media, I follow this page called Charlie Kirk, and he's more God. He's more traditional. But when he goes to these woke colleges, man, it's a battle every day against the left, the liberals. And yes, this is how we are taught. Then you have traditional masculinity and you were taught in a certain way. Then you feel like now there's no more religions, no more Christianity. It's like we don't need that no more. And yeah, that's a battle.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, there's people who are actively fighting against it. People, I think they were burning churches during the pandemic, right?
Yeah, like all these people are just, did you hear what happened with this black lady was just trying to burn the whole Martin Luther King house down?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I was like, man, that's
out of all places, that's so ironic.
I was like, black on black crime. But it's like, yo, that's what happens to what you're taught at school.
I think somebody called him homophobic, because he was a reverend. No, he was a minister, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get. I seen pastors get arrested.
Yeah,
you can't even preach the Bible. All these laws are changing. I mean, yeah, I was telling Cindy, it's like if it gets really bad, we might have to leave California.
Just don't go to Texas, because that's where everybody's going. You know, and they're all voting blue over there too.
Yo, what's up with Texas coming to California? I don't know what's up with that. It's like, oh, you can't go back. But it's like if you move out of California, you got to pay a tax every year.
Go to Florida, man. That's my dream, to go to Florida.
Hey, Florida?
Yeah.
I mean, that whole state's sinking.
Yeah, you know, but perfect weather, no taxes, Buccaneers, you know. Segue to the next topic.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay, what happened to the Bucs? You guys were doing good. You guys were 4-0.
No, we're 3-1.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. But what is this any given Sunday?
I'm not shocked. I mean, I didn't really have any expectations, to be honest, because, you know, they had a new quarterback. Coach is not that great. There's a lot of problems with the team. Right. So it wasn't like I was like, man, they're gonna make the playoffs. I mean, they're still in playoff contention because that division is trash, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I seen it.
I kinda don't want them to go to the playoffs, because if they win, they're gonna play either the Eagles or the Cowboys, and they're gonna get smacked up. So you know, it doesn't make any sense, right?
I mean, Bucks. I mean, I would, anyone with the kind of like an okay record and going to the playoffs, man, it's almost gonna be like that might be a Cinderella team.
I want him to draft that quarterback from LSU, the Heisman Trophy winner.
Ooh,
yes, because Baker's not the guy. Mm-hmm. He's a good transition quarterback, but I don't think he's the guy. You know, but I want him to keep Evans, because Evans is about to break Jerry Rice's record.
You know, 1,000 yards.
He has 10 straight. He beat Moss. He beat all these dudes. And I don't think he gets enough respect, considering, you know, he's played in Tampa for his whole career. And
yeah,
I think if Brady wasn't there, they wouldn't really know who he is, to be honest.
When I think of the Bucks, man, I think of like all-star fullback, you know, Warren Dunn, cat lover. You know,
he's a cat lover?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He's a cat lover.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Brad Johnson, the quarterback. You know, they had some good teams. Yeah. Warren Sapp.
Nah, he was that dude.
You know, it's just, you had those players, and you had a Lynch.
Oh, that was a guy.
He's our GM for the fucking Niners.
I do build that whole team, man.
Yo, I'm just telling you that the Lynch brothers, they're good. I'm just worried. When I watched the Niners game, I was like, please don't fucking, I don't want no one to get injured. Because if we get a person injured, we're fucked.
I think you guys are going to take it, to be honest. I mean, you guys have just beating everybody, man. I mean, you beat Eagles, you beat the Cowboys, like you guys beat them badly,
dude. We were watching the Eagles, and we watched that when like 49ers playing the Eagles over there. I was like, oh my god, I get goosebumps like that.
Oh yeah,
that's a tough game. Yeah. That was like, oh, it's a wake up call. But if the Niners win the Super Bowl, I'm not gonna watch NFL again, because I know it'll be scripted.
Oh yeah, I remember you told me that. If it's the Niners and Ravens, I'm done.
I am done.
I just
because I mean, look at it. I hear stories like, oh, it's scripted and this and you know, and I was like, I don't know. But if the Niners win, cool. But it's just, man, I'm telling you, this year for football.
Okay, what if it's the Niners and like the Chiefs or something?
Well, I don't know what happened with Mahomes yesterday. He was being all fucking crazy, baby.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you don't have a supporting cast. I mean, he's had Hill and all these other dudes. I mean, you give him everything, of course he's going to look great. Now yeah, he's looking like he was in Texas A&M. He was an average quarterback. And I'm going to say it right here.
Oh, shit.
Average quarterback. This is a really good team.
Average quarterback, Mahomes.
He's really talented, right? But, I mean, he came in with Andy Reid, Hill, Kelce. I mean, that was Alex Smith's team. You know, Alex Smith was an average quarterback, and he took that team to the playoffs. So, of course, you know, you put Mahomes in there. I mean, who's super talented. he's already getting that GOAT recognition. He's not there, man. I mean, and it's showing right now. He is good, but he's not elite. Joe Burrow's elite. Joe Burrow took a horrible team in the Bengals all the way to the Super Bowl. And look at C.J. Stroud, too, right now. Texans, who were the Texans without C.J. Stroud? You know, he's making him into a contender. Mahomes was already in a good team. So how are you going to put him up there? You know what I mean? If you put Mahomes in the Bengals and the Texans, does he do the same thing?
We'll see what happens if he plays for the Browns.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, look, he has nobody right now and he's struggling.
Do you know how many quarterbacks came from the Browns? 125 quarterbacks. That. And I was like, what? That's a lot of quarterbacks. But yeah, you got to see that system, because now I feel like with quarterbacks, when you watch the NFL draft, like yes. The draft day, the quarterbacks has to have that same like, oh, I like this coach because that's yep. how I was in college. Yep. And I feel like Brock Purdy, baby.
I think he's in the same situation. Great system, right? He's got all the tools to succeed. He's got a running game. He's got a great defense, great coach, right? I'm not ready to judge him yet as a GOAT either or a great player.
Not yet.
Until because he's going to lose some of these pieces. There's no way he can have that team forever.
Oh, yeah.
People are going to want to
get Brady,
paid.
When he was the Patriots.
Exactly.
Every year was different, but he still went
but
to
But you
the
know
playoffs.
What it was with him? He took pay cuts to be able to have
the right players.
All those teams. And every single year, they would get somebody who was a cast off and somebody else's team, and that's how they won. Because they didn't draft. Bill Belichick sucks at drafting. Name one receiver that he drafted that's actually good.
LeBron, good receivers. But
who did he draft that was actually good as a receiver?
You got me there.
Only Edelman, and he was drafted like in the 7th round or something like that, you know? But Gronk, obviously, you know, but he was a tight end. But receivers? Moss was not somebody he drafted. He took him from the Raiders. He was a cast-off, right?
Mm-hmm.
All these dudes, right, that they were good with Brady were system receivers. And it's showing now with Belichick, too. I mean, he can't draft.
Yeah, you got a point. Yeah, I mean, he lost, like, was it 20-3, and they haven't scored that much.
2-8. That's his team right now, 2-8. One of the worst. Maybe he's tanking. I don't know. Maybe he wants one of these quarterbacks. I'm not sure. But he doesn't look good at all.
I mean, Patriots, yeah, man, but I'm just, yeah, it's, I don't know. It's just, it's any given Sunday. I mean, who knows, like, oh, this is going to be our year, then it's this team, then this team, but, the divisions are like, yo, it's up and down.
Oh, yeah.
Very up and down.
Big time.
I'm just like, we'll just see what happens in the playoffs, like who's going to be, and we'll just go from there.
For sure.
I mean, the Ravens, yeah, I mean, Carolina fucking sucks. Fucking Raiders suck, you know?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I know we're going to talk about sports. What's up with this basketball NBA in season?
That shit was stupid.
What is this? To get people hyped up in the beginning?
That's what it is. Because I was on Twitter and I saw the Lakers are tournament champions. And I was like, what the fuck is a tournament? You know, I was like, what is this?
Is this like a preseason, like a tournament and another in season to get everyone hyped up to watch more?
It's like what soccer's doing. Right. Yeah. Because I mean, it's a long season and most people don't watch the entire season. They understand that they're losing ratings. So you make it more exciting. Like right before the All-Star game. Cause I would say the All-Star game is probably the second best thing, you know, in the NBA.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously other than the finals, but first October to December, really to February, it's kind of lame. I mean, nobody watches it unless you're like a diehard, like fan of these teams. Right. But come on, who's going to watch a game on a fucking Wednesday or a Tuesday, you know, when you're getting off of work, unless you're going to make the time for it?
I kind of feel like when I saw this NBA, this end season, and the Lakers won, and now they've like, now the teams are like, yo, let's take them down. Let's take them down. Let's see how they are in the end season, and let's see how they are after the season, if they can make the playoffs.
It's going to be good for ratings for sure. Like, I mean, to make money, but, you know, I was like, well, what are they? I thought it was a joke. When I first saw it, I was like, what do you mean by in tournament? I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, I was like, the first like eight teams, like I don't know, it was different. I was like, weird, and they played in Vegas.
Yeah,
like because I know they're trying to build an NBA team there.
Oh yeah,
Oakland A's are going over there.
Oh yeah,
I mean Vegas is gonna be the money maker.
That's where it's at, man.
I know that's where it's at. That do you go betting over there and over there in Vegas
every year, man? Every year we enter a contest. We're pretty close, you know. If we win next week, we'll get some money. You know, my brother and I are in our contest every year. We won some pretty good money. I think it was in 2021,
mm-hmm.
right? Could have won more, but if fucking Raiders, you know, missed the kick.
Dude, so when you and your brother do all these bets, do you go like just picking certain players?
No, we pick teams.
Yeah, like the whole team who's going to win it all.
We go against the spread. So, you know, if somebody is supposed to win by 3 points and, you know, we pick them to win by 4, essentially. Yeah.
And if you get it right, you get like a whole bunch of
money. We get a point. So each team gives us a point, and then at the end of the day, you get a record. So let's say you pick 5 teams. If you win all 5, you get 5-0. So every week, you stack up wins, and then at the end of the year, whoever has the most wins takes a meal.
You know?
But in between the season, there's ways to win more money, right? So every quarter, they have like the little quarterly contest. And the first 2 quarters, we didn't do too well. But this quarter, I think we only have like 5 losses and like 13 wins. So if we win next week, we'll win. That's some pretty good money. I think we won like 50,000 in 2021.
I know. You saw the picture of the big ass chick. Like, look at this fucking lottery ticket over here.
You know, it was good to just put it away, you know.
So this year, what's the team that you and your brother picked?
Well, every week changes.
Oh, okay.
So they give us a spread every week, and then we have to pick the teams that we think.
I gotcha. Like in newspapers and stuff.
Basically, you know, and we talk every Saturday morning. We go over the teams. Okay, what do you think about this team? What's the spread? It's like the stock, man. Honestly, like you have to look at the numbers. For example, we picked the Niners this week, right? Even though the spread was like, I think it was like 10.5 points. And we're like, look, we have to pick them because Geno Smith is not going to play this game. You know, we were looking at the injury reports. And they've been kicking ass, right? It was either them or some other team that just had all the value, as they say, right? They have like 14-point underdogs, but they weren't gonna win. We know they weren't gonna cover the spread, so we went with the Niners. I went against my Bucks, believe it or not. I don't mind betting against them because I mean I'd rather make money than fucking winning. But yesterday they fucked me and shit. They ended up winning the fucking game.
Fucking Vikings beat Raiders 3-0.
We still want to cover the spread though. I think the spread was like 6 points or something like that. Yeah, so we covered the spread.
Damn.
Yeah, so you have to hit it, man. You have to like know the numbers. It's really a numbers game. It's not even about the team. It's the numbers, you know? Mm-hmm. And like stocks, right, they drop and they go up. So if you, for example, the Bucks first week, I think they were like 7-point underdogs. I was like, that's a no-brainer. Give me the Bucks. I mean, they're giving no respect. Sure enough, they won the game, right? So you have to know how to hit those numbers, essentially.
Wow. What, did you pick when the Niners were playing the Eagles?
No, because I think the Eagles were like dogs, but like a couple of points, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, Jason Hurt, like he was like, okay, this guy's on fire, but they're going to figure him out.
I don't think we picked that game. I forgot why we didn't pick him, but.
Yeah, I was surprised with the Cowboys and Eagles. I didn't see that coming.
I did not see that coming either.
And people got all mad. So I posted a video of, you know, Eagles and Cowboys getting fist fights.
I actually picked the Eagles. Oh, I did, because he picked the Cowboys. I picked them yesterday, and I was, you know, because they were 3.5-point underdogs. So basically, when you see that, they're telling you that they're going to lose by a touchdown. I'm like, nah, the Eagles just got smoked last week. They're going to come back, make some noise, and then sure enough, they didn't show up again, you know, and that was kind of surprising, to be honest.
Yeah. So who's your team that's going to take it all?
I'm telling you, it's the Niners. They got it all, man.
I know.
Be ready for it. Celebrate. It's been a long time.
We need it. It's
been over like 20-something years, so 30, right?
We have 30 years. Core.
Almost 30 years, huh?
I mean, it's developing, getting the right players, the draft, getting the rounds. I mean, they're making some deals here, whatever, but, man, if they can just... I mean, look, I don't see Brock Purdy as the GOAT yet.
No.
Until he wins the Super Bowl. And we'll see him deal with when the game's on the line. Because to me, when me and Cindy, we watched the game against the Browns, and I said, oh, shit, we better figure this out. Because if it's a really, like, head-to-head game, and you got to have heart, the Niners lost it in the third and fourth quarter.
Absolutely.
And when the game's on the line, like, yo... You got to dig more deep. And I was like, we're going to have a problem. We're going to have a fucking problem.
We'll see what happens, man. We'll see what ends up happening.
But with Brock Purdy, give him time.
Oh, yeah.
I just, you know, he's developing. He's learning. Balling,
man. He fucking kicked our ass twice again, you know, so.
Yeah. He just needs to get more stronger. And he sees the move and all, but you got to have the right team. But the defense, we really take that seriously.
Oh, yeah.
I thought like this year, the Niners are going to be like the Chicago Bears.
And then you got What's that defensive end you guys got from the Commanders?
Oh, yeah.
I forget his name, but he's a baller too, man. I mean, you got him in Bosa on the opposite side. I mean, just...
Yeah. You got to have the right core. You get the defense, you got the offense. But sometimes in a way that, you know, when you have a really good defense, you know, sometimes I feel like they're just way too cocky.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, yo, calm down. You ain't fucking Deion Sanders. Calm the fuck down.
Nobody's Deion, man. I mean, that's hard.
Yo, a lot of people are leaving that school. It's too cocky. He's just like, you know, we don't know he's going to be a coach for the NFL.
No, he doesn't want to. He said it himself. He's like, I can't deal with personalities. I mean, because in the NFL, it's a lot. I mean, look at AB, man. That guy had all the opportunities to be probably the best receiver of all time.
Antonio Brown?
Yeah, look at what he did.
Yeah, he took Tom Brady's girl away.
Who knows? I don't know, man.
That's just word on the street.
Who knows?
Hey, I was going to tell you about that new player coming from the Dodgers.
I don't watch baseball. That's one sport I don't watch, but
that's
I've heard a lot.
$700 or $800 million.
It's fucking insane.
You better win a World Series ring.
How many years?
10 years.
Is it guaranteed?
Probably. We're gonna see. I want to see the contract. But I mean, you had him and Stout at the Angels, and they had the best players in Major League history, but you couldn't win a World Series ring.
I don't know, man.
I mean, look at it's like. Tough. I mean, when I saw the Texas Rangers win it this year, I mean, we had the manager Bruce Bochy, who was a San Francisco Giants manager, and he took a break. And that's his fourth, that's your squad, right? That's my Giants. Yep. We're just rebuilding.
Yeah,
rebuilding. But have you been watching UFC fights lately?
Nah, I mean, occasionally. I don't know enough to comment on it. I mean, that's probably something you know more than I do. So
it's cool.
Yeah,
I mean, it's cool. I look at that stuff because I was the reason why. I think we talked about it like a year ago, but. Are they going to start doing like more gambling in California?
No.
what they do in Vegas?
No, I don't know if you saw the legislations they were trying to pass. I think it was last November, right? And I even did a whole podcast on why we should have it right in. But to me, this is ironic, man. I could not believe that people voted no against it because they said it was immoral, but they voted yes for abortions. Like you're in the same. Talk about like keeping that same energy, right? Like, I don't know. I didn't understand that. Like, let people gamble. I mean, let them do what they want to do, right? But no, they said no. People in California said no. It's immoral.
Bring more money.
That's what it was about. But it had to do with the natives. You know, they wanted to basically have full control of the gambling thing, and corporations wanted to come in and say no, we want to have a part in it too. But that's really what it comes down to. And for me, it was like, man, I don't care who does it as long as I'm able to gamble here, because if I could gamble here in California, man, it would just change the game for me, because I have to depend on my brother. And if one day he's like, nah, you can't do this no more, then what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's extra money that I get on the side. I mean, that's how I like fund my trips to wherever I go to. I mean,
oh,
you know, like otherwise it's just. Me paying for my fucking bills, you know?
I know.
Yeah.
It's a side hustle. It's like, man, I don't know if I can. Because I used to gamble, but I was like, man, I can't do that, man, because I hate losing money.
Yeah, it's hard.
Like when I used to go to casinos, I think I told you the story. I was playing the slots and all, and I won like $5,000, and I should have just cashed out. And I went from $5,000 to fucking $300.
Never do slots.
It was those the poker. You press the buttons, you know?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was like, I'm good. I'll never do that again.
I had a story in Vegas. It was when I was like 21 or 22. This was when my brother was still living in California.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I figured out roulette. Let's do it. Right. I'm like, no, you didn't. He did. He did math. My brother's very influential, man. If you ever were to get him on a podcast, he would probably blow your mind too. But he convinced me to go. He's like, yeah, let's go. I figured it out. You know, Vegas, I'm going to fucking kill Vegas with this shit, right? We took our fucking pennies over there, you know, because, I mean, we were in college and shit. And kid you not, in 2 hours, we lost everything. We had no money to get back. We had no money for a fucking hotel.
Dude, I've been there, man.
And I was fucking mad because I got a ticket on the way over there. I got an $800 ticket.
What?
I was hitting 100. I was too excited, man. I was a young man, you know? I was stupid and shit. That guy's like, where are you going? Going to Vegas. He's like, Vegas ain't going nowhere, you know. And then I got the ticket, and then that was a point for my license, you know. So I had to go to traffic school, right? That whole trip was horrible. But we were playing roulette. That shit hit double zero four times in a row. what are the fucking odds of hitting double zero 4 times in a row? I was like, this shit is rigged. Let's get the fuck out of here. He's like, no, bro. I was like, no, let's keep going. I got this shit. I was like, nah, you're going to lose all your money. Sure enough, 2 hours, we had no money. We slept in the car.
See, that's why I watched that movie, Rocking Tall. Fuck that. Nah. I just can't gamble. It's just, it's hard.
You gotta know how to do it, and you have to be responsible.
They kick out fucking Dana White from the UFC. Every casino, he takes it all.
Yeah.
He knows the game.
Oh, yeah, they know.
They know. It's like, fuck, man.
Absolutely.
But I was going to ask you, like, have you been seeing, like, the podcast game changing now?
How so?
Like, different, where you see podcasters now, like, the ones we know are quitting, and there's other ones who are taking it to the next level, and there's some, like, they're just still the same.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've mentioned it before. I think a lot of folks came out during the pandemic, and it was just a way to pass the time, and now that it's essentially over, they're done. I mean, they don't want to continue, or they've lost the passion. And, you know, I mean, to be honest, I don't really care. I mean, as long as they're not saying shit to me, I mean, even if they are, I mean, I probably still wouldn't pay attention, right? I mean, But yeah, there's a lot of
Chicano
folks.
Chicano warrior.
Oh, that dude, man.
That guy is crazy.
Did I tell you what he said to me?
What happened?
I don't know if I told you, right? So one time, because he was always in the lives, right? Holy. He was always wanting to get on.
That motherfucker had a list problem.
I don't even think that was the issue, man. One day he sends me a DM, and he's like, you know, thank you for doing what you do. I was like, oh, you know, no problem, you know, whatever. Mm. He's like, he said it in Spanish. He was like, estás este muy, how the fuck did he say it? Basically, he said I was handsome. And then I was like, what the fuck? Like, where did this come from, you know? Like, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it like that. I was like, what do you mean you didn't mean it like that?
Sounds like the hood footy.
Like, what the fuck? You know, I was just tripped out by that. And I told Mike's Mystery Mansion, right? I told him, I was like, I told him what he told me. I do. He, to this day, he doesn't let it go. He's like, he calls me profesor. He's like, you know, like, you know, what's his name? Aztec warrior, whatever he called himself, you know, like,
Chicano
warrior. Yeah, whatever. I'm like, yeah, man, never. I don't know why I attract these weird dudes in my fucking DMs. That's another reason why I got rid of Rasta Stan, because, I mean, it was just too many people just sending me DMs, which is weird, dude. Like, it's just weird shit.
So that's where it just stopped right there.
It was always like, it was people like him just sending me things that, it was another guy who got upset because I wouldn't answer his call at 9 o'clock at night. I'm like, dude, I'm with my family. I'm with my wife. Like, what do you want me to fucking do? He's like, I think it was Labor Day, right? And I was doing a barbecue, and he called me like at 6, and I was like, dude, I was like, I'm not going to answer the call right now, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he calls me again at 9. He's like, oh, so is the barbecue still going? I was like, no.
Damn.
What the fuck, though? Like, but I don't have to answer you. He called me 3 times in a row. I was like, what do you want? He's like, so what's up with the barbecue? I was like, it's over. What do you want? He's like, you don't want to talk about what's going on when, you know, with whatever issue was going on at the time. And I was like, no, man. I was like, it's 9 o'clock. I'm with my wife. I'm with my kid. Like, this is a boundary, dude. I'm not going to talk to you. He's like, man, he's like, I thought you were down with the Raza. You know, I thought you were down with the people. And I'm like,
I fucking knew it.
You know, I was like, yeah, but I don't have to prove shit to you, guy. I don't know you. I don't know you anything. And he wanted, this is the weirdest shit, dude. He lives in Modesto, right?
I'm from Modesto.
He wanted me to go to Modesto and do a barbecue over there in the middle of nowhere.
I know
he's trying to kill me.
Hell nah, man. I know that city. Modesto?
Dude, he's fucking trying to lure me or something, you know?
Hell no, nah, man. Human trafficking right
for
there.
Real.
Nah, you know what? People are just so hardcore listeners. They watch you, everything. They study you, and they want to be like who you are. They want to be like you. I see it more as envy.
Yeah. There was another woman from Missouri, actually, that was listening to the podcast. That was weird. Out of all places, Missouri, right?
Missouri.
Yeah, she was a black woman from Missouri, and she came across the podcast through, I don't know if you ever listened to The Radical Latino.
I heard of it.
Yeah, he's on YouTube mainly. And I think, I forget his name, Cuauhtemoc. He goes by Chicano.
Chicano Maker?
Yes, Chicano Marketer.
Yeah. So he still follows me.
Yeah. So he connected me to her, right? Because she was asking a question about the you know, black slaves going into Texas at the time, right? So I had done an episode on that. And, you know, I just answered her question, and, you know, and then she started sending me a lot of DMs too, right? And then one day she's like, so, like, are you married? And I was like, yeah. He's like, really? I was like, yeah. He's like, so, well, why have you been talking to me? I'm like, because you've been asking me questions about the podcast and about history. You know, I don't have any intentions to be with you. She's like, why? Because is it because I'm black, or is it because, you know, like, I'm not your type? I'm like, I'm married. I have no interest in you. You know, I never wanted to. I'm sorry if you got confused. And then she left it alone. And then she would go on my lives, and she would always comment on the lives. And then one day, one of the Flow Chronicles, I was talking about, you know, you would listen to it, you know, mm-hmm. how, like, I got with my wife and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And how it was difficult, right, to, like...
In the beginning.
Yeah. So she started asking me a bunch of questions about the previous girl that I was with before my wife.
Ooh, yeah.
And I made the mistake of answering those questions, right? So she just kept probing and probing, and because my ex-girlfriend was black, right? So I think that's why she, like, assumed, oh, you know, maybe he likes, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
to me it didn't matter. But, you know, and I take full responsibility for this. I will not make excuses, right? I should have never answered the questions that she was asking me, right? One day I was at the lake with my daughter and my wife. My shit kept going off over and over, DM over and over.
Notifications on all the time.
And my wife picks it up, looks at it, and she went back and read the messages, right? So for a couple of days, she was just, like, super quiet.
Fuck,
she didn't say anything.
Damn.
And I noticed that. I was like, you know, what's up, you know? And then she's like, I saw what you said. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, you know, about the situation. She had no idea, right, that I had brought that up. And it was something that I talked about in there that she didn't know. She's like, yeah, like, this is like getting too personal, you know? Like, you can't be putting on my business like that. Like,
oh, your wife said that?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know? And I was like, all right. I was like, that's disrespectful. You know, and I was like, all right, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't want to do that, you know, but that's when I knew, like, fuck, this is too much for me. I can't engage with strangers like that. When they ask certain questions, I need to, like, say, you know what? That's personal.
I don't know you like that.
Yeah. You know, and I didn't say anything. I think to me, I mean, I still don't think it was that disrespectful to me, but to her, my wife, it was like, yeah, I don't want you talking about, you know, previous relationships, basically. With other people, you know?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? So mm-hmm. I left it alone, and I was like, you know what? I told the girl, I was like, you know what? Don't ever send me a DM again. And that was it.
And she hasn't responded.
Yeah. No, she's like, why? What did I do? I was like, you know what? I don't need to explain anything to you. It's just not a good idea.
I learned that stuff the hard way when I started doing the podcast for almost 6 years now. I was like, damn, how time flies. But it's the learning things, you know, what you learn, and also with social media, the DMs and stuff. You got to be careful. Now these days, they can poke the bear and give you tidbits, and they can screenshot it. It's like, look what he did.
They could fuck up your relationship. Completely.
That's what happened.
That's when I was getting too involved with the followers, and I was like, you know what, I'll just do my personal page.
I like the enthusiasm.
Yeah.
They me on the comments. They go hard. Yeah. You know, you ain't cultura. Yeah. Like, I get it. I understand. Yeah, yeah, but yeah. I understand, yeah.
I don't miss that at all, to be honest.
Really?
I don't miss the people just constantly sending me DMs and commenting. I don't. Cause
it was negative.
It's not even if it was positive, right? It's too much. Because I was on my phone too much. I was neglecting my relationship with my kid, with my wife. And she was noticing that, you know? And, I mean, it would be contradictory to what I talk about. I talk about being present with your wife, with your kids, you know, and it goes against that. How am I going to be talking about that and then I'm over here neglecting them?
Yeah.
So what I did, I was like, you know what? I'm still going to do what I'm going to do with my stuff on my personal page. If you want to follow it, cool. If not, I don't care. If you want to follow the platforms on YouTube, on Spotify, whatever, listen to them. If you don't, hey, you know what? I'm still going to put it out. That's fine.
See, man, and that's the thing, man. And that's awesome what you're saying, because it's a part of life. You're growing.
Yeah.
You're learning. You're trying to find a balance with your family, but also with social media, but also with your job. But yeah, I rarely go on lives like I used to. But when you had, you're like, hey, what's on my mind? Like, yo, I was like, hey, I told, always tell Cindy, like, yo, can we get home? We don't know what's going
to
happen.
Everybody wanted to get on that.
Yo, because we miss those times.
Yeah.
I know. I talk about it from time to time. You know, when I see Brown or you, your platform is where I'm still doing the podcast. Nice. I'm learning from you. I'm learning from Brown. I'm learning from Chicano State of Mind. I'm learning from a lot of these platforms, you know, to find out who I am, find out Michael Duda.
Absolutely.
And this is where the subject I want to talk about, because yes. I feel like there's so much tribal, so much divisions where are you Latino? Are you Hispanic? Are you Mexican-American? Man. Are you Chicano? Are you Mexican? I mean, look it, I'm Mexican. I was born over here. But I still get stereotyped. You're a coconut. You're this and all. So what are we then? We're just putting our people down. So what's up?
I know you had asked me this in the DMs last time you sent me that video. And my answer to that is you identify how you want to identify. Right. Because nobody can tell you that. Nobody can tell you. That's a very personal thing to you. Right. If you identify as Mexican, if you identify as Mexican-American, Latino, Hispanic, yeah, do your thing. Right. My issue comes when you start telling people how to identify, right? If you tell me I'm Hispanic and I said, no, you're not, that's when I have a problem, because who am I to tell you what you are, right? And the second thing I say is, okay, if you want to identify a certain way and you want to tell people not to identify that way, right, then do your research, more specifically, your family research. How many people know their actual ancestors, right? Your grandparents. I got as far back as the 1500s. Yeah, through my genealogy, right? So through my father's grandfather, I mean, his father, right? I was able to trace all the way back to the 1500s. So my lineage in the Americas starts with a noble Purépecha woman, native woman, and a Spanish conquistador, right? They got married. They had kids. And when they had those kids, they were special because they were from a noble woman, right? And a Spanish conquistador, right? So people think, oh, Spanish came, they raped a bunch of women. No, it wasn't always like that. This was a valid marriage. So to know that goes against the narrative that we've been taught, that Spanish came and raped and everything was destructive. No, man, it wasn't like that. Yes, that did happen in some cases, right? But if you look at your family history, you're able to tell people, no, that's not what happened to me. I came from something that was consensual, right? And the irony is that the people who identify with solely indigenous and native or whatever you want to call it, they're the ones pushing that narrative that, no, you're not Hispanic. No, you're not Mexican. Or you're, I mean, Mexican, yeah, they are. But
so the indigenous.
The ones who identify as indigenous are the ones who carry a lot of that, right? And what I've noticed is that a lot of these people, like the one you sent me in that video, they don't know their lineage. They want to identify with something because they don't know it, right? So it's easy to identify with a narrative that we've been taught. Because if somebody tells you, yeah, this is what happened to us, and you don't know shit about it, then you're like, yeah, I mean, this explains why I don't have shit. Why I'm poor. Why my dad wasn't around. Why, you know, you start to connect that.
Making all excuses.
But if you actually looked at your history, right, and you'll realize exactly who you are. Some people maybe be fully indigenous. I don't know, right? I'm not going to argue against that.
Mm-hmm.
Some could be fully more mainly Spanish, right? That's why the whole narrative thing is not good, because it causes confusion. The black legend actually makes us more divided, right? And the irony is that a lot of these people want to be united. You know, they want to have a uniting term, but they don't have one. All of these terms that you come up with are only dividing more people. So when you tell somebody you're not this, you're not that, you're causing division in a situation, all right? Again, if you want to identify with one of these terms to empower you, go for it. But don't tell me what to call myself. When I tell people I'm mestizo, dude, they fucking flip. And this is a very common term. Mestizo means mixed with Spanish and you know, and native. And I gave you the receipts, right? I can show you like the records of these people.
People want receipts now. Like, well, okay, yeah.
I can show you the names of these people, right? And they still won't believe it. They'll still tell you that's not who you are, right? I'm like, am I going to lie to myself and say I'm fully indigenous? Yeah, I look more indigenous. You could probably say that, right? But through my family, again, through my dad's side, they're mainly Spanish because of what happened, right? I can't deny that shit. I can't be like, oh, yeah, you know, that's not who I am. Through my mom's side, you know, they're mainly indigenous, right? But you have to do your research. And I did a tutorial on this. If you look at not the latest, but one of the latest YouTube videos. I tell you where to go to it. It's completely free. You don't have to pay anything. The only problem is, if you don't know, like, your grandparents or their parents, then it's harder.
It's hard.
What I did back in 2014 when I went to Mexico by myself in the place where my family is from, right? I asked my grandparents, who were your parents? Who were their parents? So I was able to get far enough just from them. And from there, by putting those names in this website, right, I was able to find names of their parents. And it tells you the birth certificate. It tells you when they were baptized, the year. That's why.
The family tree.
Yeah, it continues to, and it does it by itself because it links it, right? So it's, I forget the name of the website. I'll send it to you so you can post it, right? But anywho, through this website, I was able to find, you know, my lineage. And now, like, there's no denying who I am. I'm not gonna say I'm not Hispanic or I'm not Latino, knowing that I have a Spanish conquistador in my family tree, right? These are people who are hated by the native peoples or people who identify as indigenous. But I also understand that the person who was indigenous in my family was of nobility, which means that they were not with the common people. So they oppressed their own indigenous people because they were of nobility. This person who had a daughter, they had an encomienda. An encomienda was like a plantation, right? And they had native slaves. So this native woman had native slaves. Again, that's not talked about.
Damn.
You know?
The only thing I can say is, like, with my father, you know, I have families that, you know, they're from Guanajuato, but I'm more focused on my mom's side of the family because my mom's brother, he did a family tree, and we can date back to 1691, and we have cousins who are Spaniard that live in Barcelona, Real Madrid and all that stuff. And I was like thinking, like, oh, we can date back. And it's hard, like how you said, defining that lineage. The only stories that I know from my mom's side of the family, like my great-great-great-grandpa and his wife, that they fled to the United States because the government took their property and they were oil tycoons.
Yeah.
And they were billionaires.
Yeah.
And the government at that time took everything and they had to start over. It's like, what do we do? And we said, well, we're going to start over coming to America. And there was times, you know, they were almost, you know, deported, you know, in that situation with Operation Wetback.
Yeah, a lot of people who came during that time, I'm assuming it's probably during the revolution, right,
this
in
is,
Mexico.
This is probably, like, at the time, they came around the 1900s.
Yeah, 1910.
Yes.
That's when you had the revolution in Mexico.
Yes.
A lot of these rich landowners their stuff was taken away.
Yes.
Right? My great-grandfather was pretty wealthy too on my dad's side, right? That specific family, they were known as the Magañas, right? And the Magañas in that specific village owned a lot of land, a lot of animals. And during the revolution, right, they lost it, right? But my grandma told me that her grandfather, when her mom, right, was getting married to my grandmother's dad, right, her dad said, you know, we sleep on beds, right? Because at the time, if you had a bed and during the 1900s, like, it was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Most people slept on mats.
That's, you know, luxury.
Yeah, so he's like, that's what he told them, right? So my great-grandfather, he didn't come from money. He had to build himself, right? But the person he was marrying, she came from money. So, you know, the father was like, well, if you're going to marry her, just know that this is a lifestyle she expects. And if you can't give her that, you can't marry my daughter.
That's like the status now these days. If you're not making 500Ks, I can't be with you.
But he did it. He was able to do it, right? But he was a self-made man, but the guy was just wealthy up the ass. Like, but during the revolution, they lost a lot of that shit.
So, I mean, since the revolution, why was it? Because they wanted to be an independent state now?
No, so you had the independence movement in the 1800s.
Okay.
So, and really, it wasn't an independence movement until way later in the 1800s, because initially it was, I actually did a podcast on this too. Miguel Hidalgo was a Spanish priest. And during the time, the French had occupied Spain. And Spain was in control of New Spain and all the Spanish, you know.
When you think of Florida, colonies. You think of New Orleans and all that. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
What about, was Germany occupied Mexico as well?
No. Okay. So what this guy did, he rebelled against the French king, right? In 1810, what they call it, El Grito, right? And so most of his followers were peons, right? Or people from like the lower class. And he said, you know, death to the to this new kingdom, death to the French, basically, right? But what ended up happening is that his followers started to murder basically any Spaniard that they came across, right? Because they were the ones oppressing them, right? That's how they took it. So within a couple of years, they ended up, you know, like that movement died off. Then Jose Maria Morelos took over, another priest, right? His movement lasted a couple of years as well. It wasn't until the Spaniards born in Mexico decided that, okay, we're going to rebel against the crown, that the state of Mexico became a country, right? But it was because they wanted to make the rules. So up until the 1850s, 60s, the church in Mexico had most of the land. They, you know, made the rules, right, for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
But the government said, no, it's time to start giving that land to the people. Right. Or for foreign investors like the U.S., you mm-hmm. know, Europeans. Right.
Yeah.
Because Mexico was a third world country. There wasn't train tracks. There was no cars. I mean,
on this day of age, yeah. Not anymore.
So, yeah. So
because Mexico is the most richest country than Russia.
So during this time, right, Porfirio Diaz, who stayed in power for about 30 years, he decides to let people come in and let them invest. Right. But in the process, native peoples who had land, communal land, for centuries began to lose it. Most of the people were landless in Mexico by the 1900s in the name of improving the country, right? So imagine you were a landowner in Mexico, and then what ends up happening is, you know, somebody comes in and says, I'm going to buy your property.
We're going to gentrify it.
Essentially, right? Where are you going to go? You're going to work for them. You're getting paid miserably. So about 90% of the people had no land. What do you do? Right? So they fought against the government. And by the 1920s, the revolution was over. My great-grandmother was actually born in the 1920s. And she was born in an hacienda. Right? So people like that, that's where they worked. And that's what it was about. It was about literally for land. Right? And this is the first time where people actually began to have land that were not in these native villages. But native people had land all throughout the entire colonial period in New Spain. And people think, oh, the Spanish came and they conquered them and they lost. No. They kept their land. Most of them did. Right? They lost it during the Mexican period. Really, in 30 years. Which is incredible to think about. 300 years of colonial rule, they keep the land. In 30 years, they lose everything. So it wasn't the Spanish who fucked them over. It was the Mexican government, specifically Porfirio Diaz, you know?
Yeah. See, this is one of the reasons. You got to go back to school with Flo. Yeah. And this is one of the reasons, like, having you on and getting to know you, I want to know the history, because I was telling you earlier, like, I want to do some history lessons about this.
Let's do it.
Because this is all new to me. And I want to be more focused on my roots.
And now you know how you got here.
Exactly.
Because of that.
and looking at Mexico now as being one of the richest countries in the world, like Congo, mm-hmm. like richest country, and Russia is like, because all the lithium, you know, look what China was like, hey, we're going to give you everything. You know, just Mexico is one of those, going to be one of the next powerhouses.
As long as they allow the U.S. to be in there, they can't really be free, because the U.S. uses all of Latin America as a playground to invest, to exploit, right? That's why people come over here.
So let me tell you this, because I know you're like, we want facts.
Okay.
So what happens if, and you know, we're almost at the brink of World War III, And you know, China is buddy buddies with Mexico.
Absolutely.
And China tells Mexico, what do you want? So we want our land back, what was taken from us, United States. You think that can happen?
Not without a fight. Not without a fight. I mean, I think the U.S. knows not to fuck with Mexico like that because, like you said, they have China next door now. It's like when Cuba had Russia next to them. Mm-hmm. That's why they couldn't take them over, because they could have if they wanted to, but Russia was in there. I was like, no, you're not doing that, right? That's why we're in Ukraine, to keep them at bay. Like, no. You know, if you invade these guys, this is exactly what we did. We packed up Ukraine, right? So the U.S., well, if the U.S. does that, they're basically, it's suicide. Because you're going to get attacked by Mexico, by China, and by Russia.
Look what's going on right next to Venezuela.
The United States is not a well-liked country all over the world. They're looking for that moment, right? These countries are looking for the moment. If they attack Mexico, and they probably will because of the whole cartel situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's game over for the U.S. They know.
They know.
It's checkmate.
Yeah. I mean, look what's going on with the new president from Argentina. That Javier is something else. What do you think about him?
I don't know too much about him, but I've heard that he's pretty conservative, right?
Very conservative. No more liberals, no that woke. It's done. Like, wow. This is one of the reasons why our country is so much like, no money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, we're going to go how United States is. And his biggest supporter is going to be Trump. He's like, hey, I did this for my country. Trump, if you take office, we're going to clean house. Enough's enough.
Wow.
And that's what I feel like 2024 is going to be, the make or break for our country.
Going to be a big year.
And a lot of censorship. But is this something where we're living in scary times?
Yeah.
You know, even sometimes I feel like if there actually isn't a foreign invasion, you know, someone tell me, like, what would you feel if Mexico invaded the United States like that? Would you feel okay, you know, fighting against your own blood, your own cousin? Like, you have to kill him and that person's in the military in Mexico and you, I just can't do that.
No, I mean, especially if the U.S. is the aggressor, right? And the U.S. has always been the aggressor. Our foreign policy is absolute shit. Love this country. You know, I'm an American citizen. I will say that proudly, right? But our foreign policy, it does not make us friends. When you go to a different country and you say you're American, people don't like
they
you.
They don't like you.
Just say you're Mexican, Steven. Just go over there and be like, I'm Mexican.
I'm Mexican, homie. Okay, I'm Mexican.
Or some Spanish, and that's it, you know?
I mean, look, man, you're getting a lot of shit from Israel. We have no business over there. Nope. You just stirred up the bee's nest. Now you got Afghanistan, Iran, China, Russia,
bunch
Cyprus.
Of enemies.
I mean, and I just feel like, man, you're just leading us, like, you're focused on all foreign affairs everywhere, and we're just like, another country's be like, oh shit, flank them, you know? Yeah. I would think of the story like this, Flo. When you think of the Roman Empire, you know, 365 days of games, and not knowing that foreign invaders are coming to take over and conquer the Roman Empire, and it fell, but they don't want the people to know because then people get scared. But look what happened.
I'm going
to
say this right now.
Distractions.
It's probably controversial, right? But when the Roman Empire was falling, some of the same things we're seeing now started to happen.
Correct.
And one of the main things is, we talked about it earlier, right? The craze with gender and sexual identities. This was very common in the Roman Empire. People began to focus on that. And the barbarians, right, from Germany and all these other European countries.
Germania.
They came and just had enough of getting attacked and brutalized by the Romans, right?
And being occupied, because the Roman Empire was occupied everywhere. Like, now fuck all this shit.
But there wasn't enough men to be able to defend the Roman Empire.
Correct. They don't have that much men, and now they're getting immigrants to, hey, come, we'll give you this, we'll give you a citizen, we'll give you all this stuff, because they have no men to fight.
Or there was, but they weren't willing to fight, like you said, right? They weren't warriors, and that's what's happening now. This is why I think it's encouraged, too. I don't think by the U.S., but by foreign countries like Russia and China, they love that men don't want to be warriors. They want them to be soft and, you know, more open, or whatever you want to call it, more emotional, so they can attack him. Because a man like that can't defend himself. He's not going to fight. You know?
And then you gotta keep on preaching that nationalist, you know, have like, yo, defend your country how it was in World War II. Like, you know, like, hey, no matter, you fought for your country, you did what you had to do. But now I feel like a lot of people are like, nah, I don't want to fight. I'm just, nah, I'm good.
Well, I mean, there really is no reason to fight. I mean, who has attacked the United States other than, if you want to say, Afghanistan? I mean, not really, even, it wasn't even Afghanistan. It was one man and a bunch of radicals, right? That was probably the only time, other than Pearl Harbor, when who has come to this country and attacked it?
Like, yeah, you got a good point. Yeah.
So
why would terrorists here, but not like a foreign invasion?
Why would you go out of the way and attack somebody? Like, it just makes no sense.
And it has to be strategized. Yeah. And now you have social media. Hey, they're coming.
Yeah, like if China were to come here today, right, and start attacking your own neighborhood, they go to Long Beach and say, you know, now you need to do what I tell you. Of course you're going to defend yourself.
Of course.
Right? But why are you going to go to China and fight? Like, there's no point. You don't need to go over there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. That's what I feel like the foreign affairs, like, United States needs to pull out for that and focus on us. Because I feel like there's going to be a foreign invasion. People think, like, that's not going to happen. Hey, the Red Dawn.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Well, even the politicians don't care about the United States. They care about their foreign investments, the money, right? There is no United States.
Corporations.
Yeah, I mean, BlackRock. Otherwise they wouldn't be doing this. The only politicians I think that you might have some kind of interest in politics are your local politicians, like people in the school board, people who are running for city council, right? Because they care about the communities. But your governors, your mayors, your presidents,
they're all bought out.
They don't give a shit.
They don't. And that's what I feel like the deep state, like who's really running the show? Because a lot of people say like the people who are really running the show, United States is 80% is Israel. They have us by the nuts.
For whatever reason, the U.S. is invested in that country. You can have all the conspiracy theories or whatever it is, but they're involved in there for some reason, right?
Do you know they give every month, the United States gives $30 to $80 million a month to Israel for aid.
Yeah.
Without them, they can't. They'll be done.
Yeah, pretty much.
But and they control the social media. They cope. I mean, look at, I give flowers to Jun and Assad for figuring everything all out. And it's like, well, what can we do? You know, you got BlackRock, you got State, you got Vanguard, you got the corporations, you know, like, yep. I mean, look what's going on with that little country right next to Venezuela. It's like, we have to back that little country, and Venezuela has the backing of China. That's another, like, oh, shit, we have Ukraine. We got Russia. We got Taiwan and China. We got Palestinians and Israel. Now you have this. We don't need this crap.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
I mean, has anyone noticed the cracks in the COVID times? Like, we need to heal our country. Hey, we're fucked.
I would have thought that would have been it. That was a moment where we were supposed to come together and heal or whatever you want to call it. It's made everything worse. It made people more paranoid, more against each other. I was like, that's it. There's no hope.
I just see more like now I see like, oh yeah, we got to support, be unity. No, it's like 10 times worse. It's like, it's evil. The world
basically
is evil. It's like our country is evil. It's like, no matter we can show love, man, it's evil. Even on social media is evil. It's just like, fuck, dude. What can you do?
Just watch out for yourself and those around you that are close to you. You know, that's what I would say.
And I'm glad that you brought that up because that's one of the reasons, you know, with a lot of people are moving different.
Oh, yeah.
Very different. And that's why when I cut ties with a lot of people or podcasts and all, I was like, you know what? You're making my brain be like shit. And I don't want to be more hatred. I can't fuck with you. I got to block you. You're not doing nothing. And then you're posting shit. But yeah, I don't want those types of negativity now. I just want to keep on being there for the community. And that's why I feel like my main purpose is being there for the community.
Yeah, and that's why I say to be careful, you know, who you associate with, because especially like I told you, I was talking about followers and supporters or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't care.
They don't care.
Right. They love to see drama, right, on social media, I think. You know? So you have to be very careful how you move, especially with a platform. And I, you know, I tell you all the time personally, you know, like...
Mm-hmm.
You got a family. You got kids, you know. Yeah. Like you have a good supporter in her, you know what I mean? Like, worry about those people. Not the podcasters, not the quote-unquote haters. All these people, like, let them go, man. I mean, they even if they piss you off. I mean, I get it. You know, people can say things to you and it'll make you feel a certain way. But whenever you go through that, reflect on it and be like, you know what? Is it worth it me going out of my way to you know, put something out there to, you know, feel like, because the followers might want you to see, oh, how, it's like when Biggie and Tupac were, you know, making
back
music, right?
East Coast,
yeah,
West Coast.
So it's almost like that's what they want. Oh, what's Mega Man going to say? You know, they just called out his, I don't know, his kid or whatever, you know, like, oh,
yeah.
They want to see what you're going to say. And that's why I said, you got to be careful with that because they will lure you into that. And in the moment that something happens to you, where are they going to be at? They ain't going to give a shit about you.
They want to see if I'm going to take the bait.
Exactly.
And the people that which we're not going to mention, I've seen all those types of people, and they're the same people. And I think it's like, oh, what does Mega Man say? He's very progressive. He's very open. He's very blunt. They want to see all that stuff. Yeah. But, I mean, everyone's entitled to an opinion, or I speak my mind. But, you know, like with me, my main concern, of course, how you say, you know, like my family, but also is to push out the message. It's to push out the truth. Because in 5 or 10 years, the government's going to erase all this. And how am I going to, or anyone else, going to let people know this is what really happened? Like you're a historian.
Yes.
You're teaching your history to our people. You're teaching history to me right now. We do the podcast.
Yes.
And the stuff that I'm doing is more deeper than what all this
current
little,
events.
Current. Yeah. But also at the same time, the deep state of what they're doing and all. And that's what I feel. I was doing an episode and I said, and someone told me, why are you so focused on political stuff or deep state or conspiracies and all? And say, you know why? Because I was going on these rabbit holes researching to see if I could find a cure for my son for his catatonia.
Wow.
That's why. And what it led to me, and I found out why, the glucose, the mucus, Dr. Sabi, then it went on this rabbit hole, then it went
on
this.
It's all mucus, huh?
All that stuff, everything, the stress. Stress is the number one killer. You know, what you see on social media, what you see in the world, like you're going to die early.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like I started going on these rabbit holes and start researching, and it just went on a mind of its own. And this is one of the reasons why when I post stuff, it's like, oh, I didn't know about that. And people are like, oh, why you post that? Why you post this? Why you post that? Because we weren't taught this in school, because it was all founded by the Rockefellers, and they only want to teach a little bit because Rockefeller didn't want thinkers. He want workers.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just wanted to do something for, you know, for our people to understand, like, yo, did you hear about this? Fun facts. Did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? And it'd be spreading the message little by little. And it's not about views, clouds, and numbers. It's to educate what the government's not educating for our people, that I have and you have to do, is to push out the message, let people know, and let them, you know, feel what they want to say with their opinions, and let them do their own research.
Yeah, and I think one thing to also understand is that even when people have opinions, it's not even about you. It's like, you're not your idea, right? You might, even if you're very on a specific idea or maybe a specific conspiracy, whatever, they're not attacking you. They're just disagreeing with your idea, and that's fine. I mean, people could disagree, right? Obviously, if they want to be intentionally disrespectful, then that's on them, right? But if you can get to a point where, okay, that's funny, like, that's what you think, cool, you know, just let it. Very rarely do you, I mean, when have you seen me be upset?
You?
And in the times that you've known me. Like,
nah.
Go out of my way and just fucking start ranting and like.
Nothing, never.
It's a skill that I've developed, man, because I wasn't like that when I was younger. You know, I would get really irritated. Fuck, I can't even fucking stand losing a game.
You're competitive.
You know? Yeah, you know? I think the only time you probably saw me get like that is when, you know, that specific podcast had was challenging what I was saying about something they posted on social media, and they were like, no, you know, like, and I was like, well, you know, let's have a debate. And that's probably the only time you probably saw me get a little bit out of character, but other than that, I mean.
And he's trying to, I'm not going to give that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Key Mexico's friend. But anyways, Latin Wealth Club, you know. But I see how he's trying to change his platform.
Good.
And it's in a good way. He's like, hey, lesson learned. You know, you just. Yeah. And also, I had to correct him as well. It's like, homie, that's not how you define the word, term matrix. Mm. That's not. But it's just, it's a part of learning, you know. Take the L, learn from it, and be better. But yeah, man, it's just everyone has their opinions. You know, when people tell me, like, they mock me, like, oh, you're weird. You think about Antarctica and ice walls and this is,
I mean, it's interesting for sure. You know, and even when I don't agree with you, I never like, oh, you're stupid for that. Like, I'm just like, you know what? Again, it's based on the way I was taught how to challenge things. And also as a historian, you need credible sources, right? So just because you tell me something, it doesn't mean I'm going to believe it, right? I always want, where's the article? Where's the book on it? Where's the stuff? And that's always. I do that with everything that I don't necessarily agree with. Mm-hmm. Some people will take it personally. Some people will say, well, you just need to accept it. Why? You know, like, you got to challenge it. But again, to me, whenever you post stuff like that, I don't get bothered by it. It doesn't bug me. I mean,
I just have an open mind. Yeah. You know, like, I don't think like, hey, man, it's like, you don't believe me? It's okay. Like, yo, is this something worth? Whoa, just make it.
It's definitely
different.
Interesting for sure.
Yeah. And when I've been watching nothing but Billy Carson, and he was talking about, where's the city of Atlantis? You know, it always talks about it's in the Western Sahara, the third eye, the third ring, the three rings. You know, it's in the Atlantic Ocean and all. But he said the real city of Atlantis is in all of us. This whole earth is the Atlanteans. And you're just seeing like, oh, the continent of the city of Atlantis, that's just a capital. And there's another capital. There's another capital. You got the continent of Lemuria. You got the continent of Lemu. Those are all capitals of the Atlanteans. So we're all the Atlanteans. As he says, the whole earth is the city of Atlantis.
And what I would say to you, when somebody tells you something that you might be like, whoa, like, where did he get that from? Look for the source. Because that's...
Yeah.
If they can't give you a source, it means they're lying to you. Or they made that shit up.
I've been looking at books. I've been... Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know? It's like, okay, where's your source? You know, they'll find a way to get around it. And again, I mean, if you have multiple... It's like, let's say somebody makes up a story about Mega Man, right? Mm-hmm. I heard Mega Man... I don't know, he's a bully or whatever, right? And then that person repeats it, right? You put it on social media. A second person reposts that shit. Before you know it, we all believe it, right? Because nobody's questioning that. But if you go and talk to the source, which is you, right? And explain, okay, well, this is what happened. This is why I did this. Then you have a perspective now.
Correct.
But if you just take people's information and don't question it, then you're going to believe whatever they tell you.
Oh, trust me. I was questioning a lot of people. There's a podcaster, I'll tell you off air, I can, because he follows me. And I said, you know what? I looked up to your podcast and talk about your conspiracies. But you know what? I'm 10 times more, no more shit than you. And I do the research and I hear facts. Boom, 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 boom. Well, I just do a host. But yeah, but you're talking about stuff and you're making fun of me saying like you don't know this. But I know more stuff about Antarctica than your ass.
Well, I mean, if that's his response, I don't know what to say.
That's my main focus, is Antarctica. For some kind of reason, I feel like Antarctica is a very, very special place. When you think of the Pangaea gland, the Gondwana, where all the continents were together, you know, when you think of, you know, Antarctica, India, you know, South America, and all, right there in South Africa, that was the main foundation of the Anunnakis.
Well, I mean, whether it was them or not, is definitely the foundation of civilization.
Correct.
Northern Africa specifically, I think Eastern Africa, right? Mm-hmm. Your first human beings, if you believe in evolution, that's where they came from. Mm-hmm. And they spread all over the world. So,
and I feel
there's
like
something, you know, right about that for sure.
And I feel like a lot of that history is from that book of the oldest book in the world is the Ethiopian Bible. Has a lot of histories, or even Tibet.
What I would recommend you do is read different creation stories from all over the world, right? They all have very similar beginnings. And a lot of them have, you know, like Noah's Ark, right? In the story of like the flood, right?
Book of Enoch.
There's a lot of stories in different cultures that talk about that flood.
You know, the Bible. Read the whole chapter of Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
It talks about the God of Wars and how the Atlanteans was the destructions. I was like, whoa.
Well, they talk about giants too, you know, in the book of, I think, Genesis, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I know they talk about them in a specific
book. Everywhere. Yeah. I mean, look at what's going on in the Grand Canyon. There's a lot of pyramids. Like, even in Mexico, there's a lot of pyramids. And that's why I feel like, why is there in Mexico, South America, and North America, there was so many pyramids, and they had the most pyramids all over the world?
Somebody says something for sure. They shared it, and because there is a lot of common things with all the pyramids all over the world. They have the same measurements, all of them. They have the same connections to the stars. So it's definitely weird. I mean, you know, it's
Egyptians, Mayans collaborating.
I don't know. Or maybe they passed the knowledge somehow, you know, like they sent something.
I mean, because when you find artifacts of Egyptian artifacts in the Grand Canyon and you hear stories of portals, and you hear like, it makes me think and wonder of like, you know, what is there something that we don't know about that the Smithsonians and the elite don't want us to know about our history?
That you can go back in time?
I know. It's just, I'm telling you, like, it's just something where I just get intrigued, like learning about history, you know, just anything. I was going to tell you before we end, do you have any creepy, like folklore stories in Mexico?
That I know, like from people or
like duendes?
I've never experienced anything like that, but I was actually talking to one of my homies recently about some experiences with me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I had a dog, right, that died recently. Mm-mm. Right. Yeah. My dog that I used to have, mm-mm, he died. He died in a
The one who was barking like, hey.
Yeah. No. Yeah, he got ran over. Right. Yeah, awesome. Back in when I was in Mexico, actually, when I was on vacation.
Oh, yeah. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So, you know, we had him for 7 years and stuff like that. So, obviously, my wife and my kid were, like, devastated, right? And we moved to a different place, right? It's still in the same building, but we moved downstairs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's a bigger place now.
Same garage?
Yeah. Yep, still at the same place. But, you know, my wife was telling me that she started seeing things, like, in the apartment, right? And one day she was on the couch, and then, like, she saw, like, a shadow, like, go through the wall, right? Because we have his ashes. Like, they burned his ashes, and we have him in the room, right? And I was like, oh, that's weird. I mean, whatever. And then on my birthday last week, my parents came over, right? And we went for a hike. And we used to take the dog all the time, obviously, to go hiking. And then I was like, hold up. I told my parents, I was like, let me just go to the bathroom, right? And so we can go on the walk. I go into the bathroom, and I felt something go under my legs. But it looked like like that black shadowy thing that my wife was talking about. I was like, what the fuck was that? You know, like that felt weird. And then the next day I was in the kitchen and then I saw some shadowy thing again, you know? And the reason why I think this happened, right, is because I was talking to, you know, Wendy from Bloom Wellness. And
yes.
Cynthia, right? Mm-hmm. So I met up with this woman who they think is like I guess like, I don't know, maybe has like some kind of contact with like spirits or whatever, right?
Yes.
Maybe I'm wrong. But after I met with her, like these things started happening. And then Sweet Lou was like, dude, like he's like, you fucked up. You should have never fucked with that energy. Like you should have never had that. Because I did like a pattern reading, right? Not like the hand thing. It's just like I wanted to see like some things that I'm doing that maybe I can change my ways, right? And I met up with her and she was telling me, oh, you know, these things you're doing, this is why you're doing them, right? And after that, he was like, dude, he's like, I think like you unlock some shit. That's, you know.
You opened something.
Yeah. And all of last week, my wife was just like crying almost like every day, like for no reason. And then I fell out of whack a couple of days ago and I never get stressed.
Unbalanced.
So I was like, what the hell is going on, you know? And maybe that's what it is. But I feel good today, you know? So
I feel the same way. Me and Cindy, we're having a spiritual warfare.
Something's going on.
And I was saying, like, you know, there is a person, you know, and this one thing. There's people that don't want to see anyone win.
No.
And this person, what was she doing? Like, she did some brouhaha? Like, some crazy stuff. And everything was, like, fucking up, and we went outside of my apartment and there was a long candle that was lit and there was a game called Mega Man.
Fuck that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, we had to bless the house. Negativity, nothing but negativity. And I feel like, man, just like there's so much negative in the world. Like, man, there's just people out there just don't want to see happy. But we see things. We see things now. Like, we saw a little girl with a tail. We saw it.
Damn.
Yeah. Some crazy shit. And but it's you got to be careful, like, when you open yourself up like that, you know, like, it's just, you don't know these days, you know, like, you see all these weird things about skinwalkers and this and all, like, there's some creepy stuff that, you know, I feel like my mom was saying, like, you little by little, you're not seeing the presence of God anymore.
That's it right there for sure, you know. Mm-hmm. Most people are godless today. Yeah, unfortunately.
So you're seeing all this evil stuff. Yeah. And this is what I was doing some research about. You're seeing all these demonic stuffs or anything because in the universe they feel like the our earth, us as humans, that these creatures, these aliens and all, they need something that they can't get but we have. Mm. To get to the next level, to go to heaven, to take over heaven, but they can't. So that's why they try to go in our souls. Maybe if I go in the soul, maybe I can get to heaven. It's they just can't. That's why God made us humans and everyone all different. But for some kind of reason, we're just having a spiritual warfare.
You know, temptation is all around you all the time.
I think we're going to end on that right there.
There you go.
So I just want to say, Flo, man, I had an awesome time. Dude, every time you come on my show, we always bring the heat. And there's one thing I always say. Stay original, no regurgitation. And I had an awesome time, and I want to do an episode with you, and we're going to talk about some histories of Mexico.
For sure, man. You know, like I said, I have the knowledge and privilege to be able to do that. And, you know, I'm not as active as I was with my platform, but just to know that something's always going to come out. Just when you least expect it, mm-hmm. You're like, oh, shit, you know, you put out another episode or...
Yeah.
Another TikTok little short video, right?
Yeah. I don't have TikTok.
Yeah.
China. No, but your episode, I always say it's one of my top 10. Well, I love listening to, because you're still doing the podcast, but you're educating us. And don't quit, because sometimes there's people that might depend on you for your education.
I mean, I've definitely seen that. There's a couple of folks who've told me that, right? And this is why when I stopped the page and I said, look, I'm moving on from the page. I'm still going to do content. Here's my personal page if you want to follow me. Mm-hmm. Those who continue to follow me, that's when I knew these people actually care about me, not
you're
going to
find out the ones who really do care.
Yeah, because, I mean, most of them obviously didn't follow me, you know, after I was done with the page. And it felt good, though, like I said, to let go of it and still create content, because I don't want to be famous. I don't want people to be like, oh, that's that guy, you know, who does the podcast. Like,
no.
I want my stuff to get out there and for people to know things, but that's why, I don't know if you noticed, I stopped doing, like, in the beginning when I was doing video, I had my face on it.
Yes.
And then I just stopped putting my face on it. I just started putting images and...
History
stuff, right?
You're in the background. You're like the voice.
Exactly. That was it.
He's like Vlad Team.
I'm just a narrator, you know. I don't want you to know my face.
I think that's perfect for you.
Yeah.
I think that's perfect. But again, Flo, thank you for coming on. And where can everyone follow you at?
If you want my personal page, obviously, like I said, on IG, it's on FloDCM. And if you want to go to any of my social media platforms, my link is on there. I actually just made my page public again, right?
Cool.
Not because I want to get followers, but because a lot of times when I was posting a story, what ended up happening is that people couldn't repost it because I was private.
Yes.
So I'm like, look, you know, let them post it. And if they want to follow me afterwards, cool. If not, I don't really care. Like I said, I mean, I'm not going to be like, oh, come on, follow this guy. So again, if you go to my personal page at FloDCM, you'll see the Insta bio link. You'll have access to my Spotify, my YouTube, and even some of the music that I did back in the day. That's why I got my name Flo. I don't think I've ever talked about that in any of your podcasts.
We're going to talk about that, because on the next episode, I want to talk about your music, but I want to talk about when you and your family made the trip to Mexico.
Oh, that's gonna be nice.
I feel like the stories, the pictures, it feel like I'm home.
Yeah.
And that's I was telling her, she's like, why are you getting emotional? It's like, Flo found his home.
Yeah.
When you go to Mexico and you find the roots, then you feel like you're like, it's an energy that's like lifted. Like whatever happened in America, when you come to Mexico, it's lifted. Like I was telling you, I'm doing a detox.
Yeah.
and I'm trying to, you know, I have this person named Jose Torres, and his name, his store is Aslan Herbal Remedy, yeah. And I want to clean my body.
And yeah, yeah, and I saw that, you know, that's great that you're doing that. And just to go back to what you were talking about, the video that I put up on YouTube, a little short video, I say that, and it's like a poem, basically, and I say that, you know, even though this place, I wasn't born here, right? I wasn't born in that area, right? But it's my home, because that's where all my ancestors lived. Both of my parents are from the same place. That is not common.
That's rare.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
And they met in L.A. in the same place. Like, talk about, like, coincidence, right? So when I go there, it feels like I'm home, like you said. And I told my wife, I was like, look, I ain't trying to buy property here. Why? Because here, once you get older and you can't pay the property tax, you're fucked. Like, they take away your shit. So I got property in Mexico, and that's where I'm going to retire. I told her, I was like, as long as I got my little checks coming in, you know, I'll eat regular food, I'm good, man.
Tacos and burritos.
There you go.
But yeah, man. But again, Flo, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
Everyone, you can follow me at the Long Beach Social Experiment Podcast on IG. Shout outs to Mirage Engineer. Follow East of the River Studios and Mirage's page. Shout outs to Viva Mascale. Hope your foot gets better. Shout outs to Cali Girl Eats. And shout outs to my kids, and shout outs to all the podcast listeners around the world, my followers and everything. Until next time. Late.
Peace out.
Late.